We begin the current Daf Masechet Yoma Daf Pei Aleph. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the previous Mishnah. That is, the Mishnah told us regarding the 5 Inuim, the 5 afflictions that are forbidden on Yom Kippurim, and one of them is the one of the prohibition of eating and drinking, which are included in the same category of Inuim, because drinking is under the category of eating. And the Mishnah told us that Ho'echel V'Hashesa Eimet Starfen, although we said that each one has a requisite shear for it to be a violation of the punishment of the inui of eating and drinking, eating with kaisebus agasa, a large date, and drinking the size of kamoy lugma, the two of them do not combine together, that if one would eat half the measurement of food and half the measurement of drinking together, one would not be chai. So that the Gemara asks, Mantana, who's the town of our Mishnah that says they do not combine? So the Gemara brings a machloikis, Amrav Chisda. He says, b'machloikis, in other words, regarding a machlekes that's mentioned elsewhere, shenuya, that's what our mission is discussing, and that is, truthfully, our mission is not like every opinion. Because rather, Rabbi Yeshua, our mission is like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. It's not like we learn the Mishnah in Meseches Me'ilah, it says, Kalalam Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said the following general rule. It says, Kol shetum asei b'shiyurei shava. Wherever you have that the tum of an item, which means to say that its tumma lasts for a specific amount of time, and its measurement are the same. For example, let's say one has 2 halves of an olive of 2 different corpses, or 2 halves of an avela of a dead animal carcass, or 2 half of lentils from 2 different shrotzim, where the time span of their tumma is the same, until how long one will become tummy from that transmission of tumma, and the measurement of how large does the item have to be to transmit tumma, they're both the same. Then that's what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, mitzarf, then they'll combine to create that share of tumma. However, if it's tumasoi below shiurai, if let's say their tumma is the same, which means to say that it'll transmit tumma to a person, for example, for a certain amount of time, but the measurement is not the same. For example, if let's say half is from a sheretz and the other half is from an avela, where they both will be metame for a certain amount of time, which is called tumas erev, up till the evening. However, their measurement is not the same because one transmits tumma in the measurement of a kezais, which is the size of an olive, and the other one with adasha, which is the size of a lentil. Or let's say shiurei v'loy tumasai. Let's say that their measurement are the same, but their tumma, how long one becomes tummy by touching it, that's not the same. For example, there's part of it from a corpse and part of it from a nevela, where their share are both a kezayis. However, when one touches a mess, it becomes tummy for 7 days. When one touches a nevela, one becomes tummy only up until the evening. So their share is the same, their measurement, but not their tumma. And for sure, loy tumas v'loy shiuri, or if their tumma is not the same and their shiur is not the same, then aim and starve, and then they do not combine. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that it has to be the same exact criteria, which in the category of tumma means to say that it's how long will it be mitami something, and the measurement have to be the same. Only then do they combine. So it seems that's what Rav Chisda is telling us, that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yeshua, where generally things do not combine if they're a little bit different. They have to be exactly the same, and therefore food and drink, which they have their own different measurements, one is kesebes agasa, one is malay lugmav, therefore they do not combine. Now Rav Nachman argues in Rav Chisda. He says, afilatim rabban, and you could even say that our Mishnah, who is saying that we do not combine 2 different things like food and drink for the halacha of the violation of Inuyam Kippurim, are even like the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yeshua. And they hold that it does combine, even if it's not the same exactly in shir and in tumah, because ad kan lekomi rabban hasam. Only over there did we find in that Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, the rabbanon say that they're going to combine, even if let's say they're a little bit different, because that's elulah in tumah. That's regarding the criteria of the halachas of tumah, because the shem tumah chadi. Because ultimately, even though one has a different shear or one has a little different in the tumah, how long? However, they're still the same umbrella, same category of tumah. Therefore, they'll combine to transmit tumah. Aval hacha, but here even they would agree that they wouldn't combine not food and drink. And the reason is mishum yisuvi daituhu. As we explained, the whole violation of eating and drinking in Yom Kippur is not because the Torah tells you not to eat and drink. It's that a person should be in a state of affliction. Eating and drinking removes that because it calms a person down. V'hai loy miyas v'dayte. However, the combination of eating and drinking do not put a person's mind at ease, because until you eat okay, sebes agasa or drink malay lugma, even if you can do half of that and half of that, it's not going to combine because it's not miyashtav the das. And therefore, although they generally hold that it could combine if they're a little bit similar, That would be by Tumma, because that will be a proper application. But here, even though they're similar, it still doesn't serve in the function of being Miyashar the Das, and even they would agree, it's not like just like Rabbi Shua, our Mishnah could even be like Rabbanan, that it will not combine. Now the Gemara says we find a similar machlokes regarding who the interpretation of our Mishnah is like. Rish Lakish said like Rav Chisda, that b'machlekes shnuya, that our Mishnah is dependent on a machlekes Rabbi Yeshua, and actually our Mishnah is like one opinion that of Rabbi Yeshua. It's not like we learned that Mishnah, call Rabbi Yeshua b'chulu, as we quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says like Rav Nachman, that if it's a tamer Rabbanan, you can say our Mishnah is like Rabbanan, because ad kan lekam Rabbanan hasam elin tuma. We only find Rabbanan saying that regarding tuma. Aval hacham yishum yisuvi daitu. Here it's a whole different criteria regarding calming a person's das down. B'hai lekam yasuvi daitu. Even if we would say halachically it would combine, it wouldn't help because it would not serve the function of calming a person down, and therefore that would not be a violation of the affliction of Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme of the inoy, the affliction of achila, of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. So Mishnah tells us, achol v'shasa behelam echad. If one eats and drinks in one lapse of awareness, and that is generally regarding being chayiv in a carbon for violating an iser, there's a halacha of helam echad in one lapse of awareness. That is, if one does the same iser many, many times, generally you'll be chayiv many different karbanas, for each one is a separate act. However, if it's done in one lapse of awareness, we consider that one shaygig, because it's one iser, and therefore you only bring one chatas. However, if one is doing many different averis, even though it's one lapse of awareness, you'll be chayv on each averis separately. So that our Mishnah tells us that if achol v'shasa b'helam echad, if someone ate and drank on Yom Kippur in one lapse of awareness, ein chayv el chatas achas, he's only going to be liable for one karban chatas. And that is, although we just finished saying that they do not combine because they're different, that's only regarding being miyashav a person's das. However, they are what's called in halacha one shame iser, one iser itself, because they're both learned out from one pasuk. As we had learned in the previous Mishnah, it says five times the term inui, so therefore we learned out five inuyim, which although we said in the Mishnah it sounds like there were six, it's really five, because achila and shtiyah are really one violation. Hence they're one iser. So if you eat and drink in one lapse of awareness, it's like you ate many times in one lapse of awareness, which one would only be liable for one karma chatzis. However, achol v'asa malacha, however, if one ate and did malacha, which are two different isurim on Yom Kippur, which they're learned from two different sukkim, even if that's done in one lapse of awareness, chayiv shtei chatois, the person would be liable for two karma chatzis. Now the Mishnah continues, says, achol eichlin she'en ruin la'achila. If one eats something, however, it's not something that's edible, that's fit to be eaten on Yom Kippur, or v'shasa mashkin she'en ruin l'shtiyah, or he drank something, a beverage, that's not fit to be drunk, people don't drink this, or v'shasa tziroi murius, or he drank fish brine or fish fat, patri is exempt because that will not be a violation of eating and drinking on Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara asks a general question, Amr Shlakish, me'mnei ma lo'y nemra azhara be'inoy. Why doesn't it say anywhere in the Torah a prohibition of the iser of affliction? That is, we find that if one does not afflict himself, the Torah tells you you're going to get a punishment. But generally we know that to have a punishment, to have an einish, you must have first an azhara, a warning. Yet it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah a warning of requirement to afflict oneself on Yom Kippur. It just says what happens if you don't, you get that punishment. So the Gemara says, Mishum Deli Efter, it's not possible to write a prohibition, a azhara, of affliction, because heichin nichtav, how should we write it? Nichtav rachmana lo yoichel, if the Torah you're telling me you should write, don't eat, so that's a azhara, a warning, but then achila b'kezayis. We know generally the term achila connotes eating, which is generally a share of a kezayis, but the problem is, the Torah only gave a punishment for affliction, which is something that calms a person down, that's only with a kesevas agasa, a large date, which is larger than the kezayis. Actually, the iser is not in the kezayis. So we can't tell you don't eat, because that would mean a kezayis. But that's not true, because the iser is only a larger share of kesevas agasa. So now, nichta rachman aloy su'una, should we write that one should not be afflicted? But that for sure shouldn't work, because kum achol mashma, that sounds like actually get up and eat. Don't afflict yourself. That would generally be like loy, don't do what? Loy su'una. That would mean don't afflict, and mean actually go ahead and eat. We don't want that on Yom Kippur. However, Maskev Rav Hoshea, asked, why can't we find a way of saying azhara, a warning of afflicting? Nichtav Rachman, let the Torah write, Hishamar, be careful, Pen loy su'una, maybe you're not going to be afflicted. In other words, you might come to a state of not being afflicted. That's great. That's a warning of not to bring yourself to not be afflicted. That's a prohibition. That the Gemara answers. Im kein nefish l'hulavi. If we wrote hishamer and pen, then there would be two loy sases. And we, how do we know the Torah? Maybe the Torah doesn't want to give you more than one lois asay. And therefore, we can't tell you hishamer pen. Because that would say hishamer and pen are each one separately warning you, and that would make two lois asays. However, Maskevel Rav Bibi Bar Abaya, he says, nichtev rachmana hishamer b'mitzvah sinur. Be careful with the mitzvah of inur. That would be great. That's telling you not to violate. That's ashara. And then you have the einish. And that the Gemara says no, because im kein, if it wrote it that way, we know the klal of hishamer delav, when you say hishamer, to safeguard, in regards to a negative prohibition. For example, let's say where it says hishamer b'nega ha-tzaras, which is a pasuk in Dvarim Chav Dalet, that a person should not cut off his tzaras, his beheres. That is a lav. That itself, when you're saying a hishamer, a safeguarding of a negative prohibition, that itself, that hishamer, is translated as a negative prohibition. However, hishamer da'asei, when you say safeguard of a positive commandment, for example, if you would say hishamar that you should be shetesana, that you should be afflicted, which is a positive state, something we're asking you to do, remain in a state of affliction, hasay, that would only be translated as also a positive commandment. And hence we can't say hishamar b'mitzvahs inui, because that's saying a positive action one should do, a state he should be in, which that would mean then even if you say hishamar, it wouldn't mean a lois asay, it would mean a mitzvah asay, because we always transpose, we use that state of what we're saying, if it's asay, so the hishama means nasay, and we want it to be a lois asay, so therefore that wouldn't be viable either. However, the Gemara concludes, Maskevla Ravashi. Ravashi asked, Nichtev al tosser min ha'inui. Just right, do not remove yourself from the state of affliction, which that is a negative prohibition, and that would be a great way how to write an azara for the Torah. And then the Gemara concludes, Kasha, it is difficult why the Torah didn't write al tasser min ha'inui, according to what the Gemara is trying to say right now, that it wasn't possible to write azara. There is a feasible way of writing it, like Ravashi says, of al tasser min ha'inui. However, the Gemara continues and says, truthfully, v'tana ma'isila. There are tanoim that bring a hazara for affliction, mihacha, from the following pasuk by Midbar, that there is a source for an hazara for the isser of inui of Yom Kippur, where it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, v'inisim es nafshei sechem, you should afflict your souls, kol malocha leisasu, all forbidden work one should not do on Yom Kippur. Now, that's what the pasuk says. And the Brisa continues and says, yochel yehei onish, you would think a person would get a punishment of karis, al teisefes malacham, if let's say someone did not add on from the weekday on every Yom Kippur onto Yom Kippur to stop working a little bit before Yom Kippur started, you would think that if he didn't, he would get a punishment of karis. Tamalema, that's a pasuk teaches him a yikra, v'chol hanefesh asher tasa kamalacha, and any soul that does work be'etzem ayim hazeh on the actual day of today of Yom Kippur, then that person gets karas. Now, which means alitzumi shol yom anish karas. That means only if you did malacha on the actual day of Yom Kippur, you get karas. Ve'ena anish karas al tesevas malacha. However, you do not get a punishment of karas on the added component. That is, there is a concept of tesefas Yom Kippur, of adding on to Yom Kippur. That not to start the second that Shkia, that the evening begins. They actually should be added on a little bit from before that. Now, that the Bryce is going, working backwards and saying, we know there's such a concept of having Tosfos Yom Kippurim. Now, I would think if one does Malacha during that time, he would get Karas. And that's what we show in the Pasuk that says only Be'etzem Yom Hazeh, but one does not get Karas for the additional part of Yom Kippurim, which is being added on really from every Yom Kippur. However, Yochel lo yehei onesh Karas al Tosfos Malacha, but you would think, okay, fine, you don't get Karas if you do Malacha on that added part of what's being added to Yom Kippur. But one would get punishment of karas for the added part of affliction. That is, we make Yom Kippur a little bit earlier. We're adding on, which is not really the day of Yom Kippur, the 10th. So a little bit of the 9th. But you would think, okay, if I'm malach, you don't get karas. But regarding the afflictions, which is another added halacha of Yom Kippur, one would get karas if he doesn't afflict himself in that time. Tamalayma, there's a pasuk that says, Kikol ha-nefesh ashulay tu'una be'etzayim hayam hazeh v'nechrasa, that any soul that will not be afflicted on this actual day, that person will get karas, which again translates as alitzum shel yom onish karas, only for the actual day. If one violates that affliction, he gets karas. Ve'enay onish karas al tosefes. However, he does not get a punishment of karas for the additional part. Again, we know there's tosefes, but working backwards, I'm saying we have a pasuk showing there's no karas for the malacha, and there's no karas either for the inoy regarding that added part of Yom Kippur. Now the Braisa continues even further. Now yochel lo yehei b'chalal einish, you would think, okay, fine. Then there's the added part of Yom Kippur, which is not really the 10th of Tishrei, it's part of the 9th, that fine, there's no punishments at that time. Av yehei muzer, but at least one will be violating a negative prohibition in the Torah, al teisefes malacha, regarding this added part of not to do work on that. Tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches, v'chol malacha leisasu be'etzam yom hazeh, that one should not do any work on this essence of this actual day, which is alitzum shel yom hamuzer, that actually the warning, the prohibition itself, not just the punishment, that's only on the day of Yom Kippur, ve'ena muzer al teisefes malacha, however, one does not have a warning regarding the added part of malacha. Now, the Braisa continues even further. Fine. So you would think, as we see from the Pesukim, that not only don't you get a punishment for Tesefes Yom Kippur, you're not even violating a negative prohibition. There is this concept, but there's no negative prohibition. So you would think that applies to regarding Malacha. However, there would be at least a negative prohibition that one would be violating if he eats or drinks or anoints or bathes himself, one of the Inuyim, on even the added part of Yom Kippur. However, on that, the Braisa says, but v'dinu, it's a kal v'chomer that it would not apply. Because umam malacha shenehegis b'shabbos b'yom tovim, if regarding malacha, which that is a stronger type of a violation, because it applies not just in Yom Kippur, but even regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet still in the muzer allow, still there's no warning, there's no negative prohibition regarding that on the Tosefes Yom Kippurim part. So inu, which is a much less prominent violation, which does not apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't have a halacha of inui. In addition, shleihei muzer lav, isn't it a kal v'chomer that there should be no azhara of that on Tosefes Yom Kippurim? And therefore, the Braisa explains to us that although, again, we know there's such a concept of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, there's no punishment or azhara, neither for malacha nor for inui. Now, this is the part of the Braisa that we wanted to show, what we're getting to show that there is a azhara of inoy on Yom Kippur. The Braisa continues and says, "Avol hazhara li'inoy shel yom atzmoy lo lamanu." However, up until now, we have not found a source for the prohibition of the warning of the inoy, of the affliction of the day of Yom Kippur itself. Minayin, where do we know that from? In other words, we demonstrated clearly that there's no azhara of inoy on Tosefes Yom Kippur. But where do we know that there is even azhara for the day of Yom Kippur itself? On that, the Braisa says as follows, "Lo yomer onish b'malacha." Truthfully, it should not have said in the pasuk a punishment for someone that violates doing a malacha on Yom Kippur. The gamma me'ina, because you could have learned it out from the affliction. If one violates not being afflicted on Yom Kippur, because uma'inui, like we just said, this concept of ma'inui she'enu noig b'shabbos v'yayim ta'ivim, if inui is much less of a violation in the sense that we find that it doesn't apply on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet still onish karas, if one violates this prohibition on Yom Kippur, he gets punishment of karas. So malacha, which is a much stronger type of iser, because she'enehegis b'shabbos v'yayim ta'ivim, you find it more prominent that it applies by Shabbos and by Yom Tov. So like kolshken, wouldn't it be all the more so that one would get karas for violating that in Yom Kippur? I would be able to learn that from inui. Why does it say in the Torah that there's a punishment of karas for malacha to him? So it must be lama nemar. Why does it say it? Mufna, it's extra in the sense lahakish v'ladu mimen gzeir shava, to make a comparison and learn out from it gzeir shava, which nema oynish be'inui, that to tell you that it says punishment regarding the afflictions of Yom Kippur. V'nema oynish be'malacha, it says punishment regarding malacha. And ma malacha loy onish elam kin hizer, just like malacha, there wouldn't be a punishment, only if one is forewarned, as we see that it says azhar regarding doing malacha on Yom Kippur. So af inui loy onish elam kin hizer, that's what's coming to tell you, why does it say the punishment of malacha, to use it as an extra pasuk to tell you that just like over there that punishment is only because it had a hazar beforehand, so too from a kal v'chomer we learn that the punishment of inui is because that there is a hazara. Where do we know that hazara from? Although it doesn't say in the Torah explicitly, it's learned from a kal v'chomer from the einish of malacha. That's why it says that einish of malacha, to compare it to the einish of inui, to say just like there's a hazara, so too over here there is a hazara. Now the Gemara asks on that, however, ikla mifrach, there is a question on this Gzeres Shava, that we're comparing the Malacha to Inui to show that just like there's an Asara, here there's also an Asara, because Mali Inui Shlehut Mechlali, we find that it's not necessarily the case that it's so slanted this way that we find that Malacha is such a greater Isser and Inui is such a lesser type, and therefore we could learn out that from we could have learned that from a Kavah Chaimer. So why did we say the Inish Malacha must be to tell us this Gzeres Shava? Because not so Pashut. Because we find by affliction that there's never a case where it's ever permitted carte blanche to violate the Inui. There's no one that's allowed to just violate the Inui of Yom Kippurim. Yet Teme b'malacha, Shuhuj b'malacha. However, regarding Malacha, we find that it's totally permitted in certain instances. And that is, how could we say that the punishment of Malacha is mufnit to extra pasik because we could have known it from the Inui? It's not true. We could have said that Malacha is in a way lesser than Inui because it is permitted regarding Avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, that Malachas are allowed to be done on Yom Kippur. And therefore, maybe it was necessary to write the Einish of Malacha because I would not have known it from the Einish of Inui, because it is lesser in the sense that you could do it totally carte blanche, Malachas on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, how do I know that it's extra to learn Gzeres Shava to Inui? It's necessary because I would not have known the Einish of Malacha from the Einish of Inui to say that it's extra. So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, Lo Yoimer Einish B'Inui. You're right. No, the reason why one of the psukim are extra to make a Gzeres Shava comparing Malacha and Inui, to say that just like there's an Einish by Malacha, which has a Asar beforehand, so too the Einish of Inui must be there's a Asar beforehand, is because we shouldn't have written the punishment by affliction. Because to come in Malacha, we could have actually learned it from Malacha. Because now we're saying the reverse, that as we just demonstrated just a second ago, that actually, Inui is the greater of the Isurim. Hence, I could have learned it from the lesser of them, which is Malacha, because Ma Malacha Shehut Shemachlala Anish Karas. If we find by Malacha where it's permitted totally under all circumstances in certain instances, for example, like we find the Beis Hamikdash, you're allowed to do Malacha, which they do with Karbanos, they do all the Malachas on Yom Kippur, and still there's a punishment of Karas. See Inui Shlehut Shemachlala. So regarding affliction, where it's never permitted carte blanche in any instance, like Kalshkin, isn't it a Kalshkin that one would get a punishment for violating that? So Lama Nemar, why does it actually say Einish by Inui? That must be because Mufne Lahakesh V'Lodim Men Gzeres Shava. It's the extra pasuk to compare and learn out from it Gzeres Shava. That is Nema Einish by Inui, even Nema Einish by Malacha. It says punishment by afflictions, it says punishment by doing work on Yom Kippur. To tell you, now we compare the two, Ma Malacha Einish V'Hizr, just like by Malacha, forbidden labor on Yom Kippur. There's a punishment and there's a warning, Af Inui Einish V'Hizr. So too, by the affliction, there's a punishment, must be there's a warning. However, the Gemara continued to ask, but Ikla Mirfach, you could still ask, as we just said before, because yes, each one is greater and lesser, so therefore you can't learn either one from the other, because Mala Malacha, Shekin Hegis B'Shabbos of Yom Tovim. Because, however, it's still not so simple, because you could still say that that the other one, Malacha, is Mochamer, because it applies B'Shabbos and Yom Tov. Teime B'Inu, She'en Enoig B'Shabbos of Yom Tovim. And therefore, maybe you would not be able to learn that Inu from Malacha, because on the sense, Malacha is Mochamer. So therefore the Gemara says that this cannot be a source for the Ashara of Yom Kippurim. Rather, Ravina says, Hai Tana Etzem Etzem Gamar. This Tana actually is learning it out from the terminology Etzem, where it says by Inui, and it says the same term Etzem, Hayemezeh, by Malacha, to tell you that we compare the two of them, and just like over there, by Malacha, it has a punishment, and therefore it also had Ashar beforehand. So to by Inui, where it says a punishment, it also has Ashar beforehand, and that's the source for the Ashara for the Isra of Inui and Yom Kippurim. Now, the Gemara, however, explains Mufna. You have to say that the term Etzem must be an extra word. Because the Ila Mufna, if it wasn't extra, then you could have asked, like we just asked, that you can't learn one from the other, because you could say that, yes, maybe over here it is that way because it's more stringent. Or maybe over here it's that way because it's more stringent. Therefore, only if you have what's called mufne, then you say that you can't ask questions on the Hekesh, because that's what the Pasuk is actually coming to teach you. If it's not extra but it has the same word, then you say, okay, we could learn one from the other if it's logical. But if there's questions asked, then you say only if it's an extra word, then you say, oh, the Torah is coming to teach you, even though you have this question, Eimashiv and Allah Hekesh. We're not going to ask any questions. So that the Gemara says, you're right, yes, we can clearly illustrate that it is an extra word, and that's why even though there's questions, we could still make the comparison between the two and say that must be that just like there's Ayin Nishan Hasara, so too will be here by Inu, there's Ayin Nishan Hasara. Because Chamisha Kroik Siva B'Malacha, there's five psukim that talk about the Isra of Malacha and Yom Kippur. Four of them are lavin, which means say negative prohibitions, and one of them talks about the punishment of Karis. This is in Parashat Achrei Mois and the Parashat Ach Ba'aser, where what are these five ideas of Malacha talking about on Yom Kippur? So Chad La'Azhar de Yamama, one's talking about the warning of doing Malacha in the daytime. The Chad La'Azhar de Lelya, one's talking about the prohibition of doing it in the evening time. Chad La'Einish de Yamama, the one time where it says in the Pasuk that of Karis is talking about the punishment of the daytime of Yom Kippur. Chad La'Einish de Lelya, one's talking about the punishment of doing Malacha by the evening time, because as Rashi explains the famous concept of im einoy inyan, if it has no application, where although it's said in the context of a hazhara of warning, but we already know all the warnings of day and night, must be tenei le'inyan einish, it's coming to tell us regarding the punishments, which we only have one pasuk for punishment of karis, which we say that's for the daytime of Yom Kippur. Now we're saying the extra pasuk is telling you punishment for the evening, so that's four, v'chad lafnuye, and the fifth time that it mentions malacha is extra le'migmer inim malacha, to learn that affliction from malacha, bein de mama, bein de lelya, whether from the daytime or the evening time, that the azhara of inui applies on Yom Kippur day or night, and therefore we learn from etzem, they were comparing the malacha to inui, and therefore that's the source, according to the first opinion of the Gemara, that of Ravina, where we know that there's azhara of inui and Yom Kippur. Another pshat, another source the Gemara brings, the baby Shmuel Tana, Nemer Kan inui, it says over here by Yom Kippurim, the term of affliction. V'nem lahal inui, it says over there by the rape of a Naira Hamarasa, where it says in the Pasuk in Dvarim Chavbeis, Al Dvara She'ines Eishes Re'eu, because he has afflicted the wife of his friend. So we learn, Malahalon Loy Onish Elam Kain Hizr, just like over there, by the Oines of Naira Hamarasa, he only gets the punishment if he was forewarned beforehand. Afkan Loy Onish Elam Kain Hizr. Here also we understand that regarding when it says Inu Yav Yom Kippur, one only gets a punishment if he was forewarned beforehand, and that's how we know there must be azhara by Yom Kippurim too. Now the Gemara brings a third source. Rav Acha ben Yaakov Amar, he says, Yolav Shabbos Shabbosin Mishabbos Bereishis. We learn that the term that it says by Yom Kippurim, where it's a Shabbos Shabbosin, a rest of resting, from Shabbos Bereishis, which is the Shabbos that's every week. And Malahan Loy Onish Elam Kein Hizr. Just like by regular Shabbos, one only gets a punishment if he was warned beforehand. Afkan Loy Onish Elam Kein Hizr. Also over here, there's only going to be punishment if there's Azhara, and that's how we know there is Azhara by Yom Kippurim too. Papa Amar, he probably brings a fourth source for this. The Gemara continues on to Amud Beis. He says, Hu Gufei Shabbos Ikri? Yom Kippur itself is called Shabbos. And therefore, without Exer Shava, you'd be able to learn that from the context of Yom Kippur itself. Since we call it, we define it as Shabbos regarding the halachas of affliction, therefore we say that it's like Shabbos regarding the punishments and the ashar that there is ashar to. The Sivlik, it says in the Pasuk, Tish Besu Shabbatchem, that therefore we see that in context we're calling it Shabbos. We have to learn from Shabbos Bereishis. It is called Shabbos. And where do we call it Shabbos? In context of Inuyim. And therefore we say, since we're calling it Shabbos, must be that just like it has the halachas of Shabbos for punishments and of ashar. Now the Gemara asks, so Bishlam Rav Papa Lema Kravach BaYakiv, Dekra Dechsiv Begufei Adif, because he doesn't want to say like the prior Teretz where it was learning from Shabbos Bereishis, because if it says in the context itself, we'd rather learn it out from the terminology it says in its own right, which is Shabbos, which therefore we know Azhar. But El Ravach BaYakiv, my time Lema Krav Papa, why didn't he say like Rav Papa? Why does he have to learn that from Shabbos Bereishis? It says by Yom Kippur itself, it's being called Tish Besu Shabbatchem, and therefore we see that it's called Shabbos. Why don't we say that if it's called Shabbos, just like Shabbos has Inish and Azara, so to Yom Kippur? So that the Gemara says, Miboyle Likadzanya. He needed those words of the Pasuk. Now, like Rashi goes through a Cheshbon to explain why we're discussing just these words of Tish Besu Shabbatchem and not the words of Shabbos Shabbosin, because that's necessary for something else. And therefore, regarding these words of Tish Besu Shabbatchem, He doesn't want to learn like Rav Papa because he needs it for other Yom Tovim, as the Gemara will shortly explain. Actually, the words of Tish Besu Shabbatchem is not going in Yom Kippur, it's coming to teach us regarding Shabbos and other Yom Tovim, as the Brisa explains. It says in the Pasuk, V'nisim es nafshei seichem besish l'chaydish, that one should afflict himself on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei. Now, Yochel Yaschel v'san b'tishrei, it sounds like if you read the Pasuk, that one should begin to afflict himself on the ninth day of the month. But Tamil Omer, that's the pasuk teaches you be'erev in the evening. Now, I be'erev yochel mishatechshek. So if it said the evening, you would think you only start afflicting yourself in the evening. Tamil Omer betisha. But then the pasuk also says on the ninth day of the month. So haketzah, how do we resolve that? Does one afflict himself already on the ninth, or only in the evening, which already begins the tenth? So on that, the Bryce explains, maschil umesana mebe'oigayim. He begins to afflict himself when it's still day, it's still on the ninth of the month of Tishrei. And Mikan, here's where we learn the concept, Shemesifin Mechoil al Kodesh, that we increase the Kedusha of Mikippurim from the weekday part onto the Kodesh part to say that, yes, it's the ninth, but it's really the tenth. How is that? You take a little bit of the ninth and you add on to Yom Kippur. That's where we begin the Inoy. Now, Be'ainli Ela B'chnisas, I would only know that one has to add on to Yom Kippur when one begins Yom Kippur from the ninth. How do you know you add on from the 11th too, meaning once one finishes the 10th, going into the evening, that one adds on a little bit of Yom Kippur when you leave Yom Kippur too? Tamil Emet, the pasuk teaches you, me'erev ad erev, that one should afflict himself from the evening till the evening, which includes the following evening, to say that just like one Yom Kippur, the evening following, one has to add on a little bit of that too. Now, ve'einli eli Yom Kippurim, this is the point that the Gemara wants to illustrate, why he didn't learn the Rav Papa, because he learns the words Tish B'Shu Shabbatchem for something else. Because I would only know Elo Yom Kippur, that this halacha of Tesefes, of adding on, only applies to Yom Kippur. Shabbos, the Girsa changes this to Shabbos is Minayin. How do you know that the same halacha applies that one should do what's called Tesefes Shabbos? Minayin, where's that learned that from? Tamalem, that's the pasuk teaches you Tish B'Shu, that one should rest. Therefore, that comes to teach you regarding Shabbos. Ainly Ela Shabbos. I would only know Shabbos. The Girsa adds on over here, changing around Yom Tov Minayin. How would I know that the halacha applies even to all Yom Tovim of being meisiv onto the day of Yom Tov? Tamalim Shabbatchem. That's what the pasuk teaches you. Your Shabbos. Haketzad. So how do we understand this? That it's Kamakim Shenem Shavus. Wherever the Torah mentions to you this concept of Shavus is meisifin mechel al kodesh. We add on from the weekday part onto the Kodesh part, and that's how we know the halacha of Tesefes, which the pasuk here is in the context of Yom Kippur. But the words Tish B'Shu Shabbatchem, Tish B'Shu comes to include Shabbos, and Shabbatchem comes to include Yom Tovim, and that's why Rav Acha ben Yaakov doesn't learn like our Papa, because although it says Shabbos in the context of Yom Kippur itself, it's not really teaching you regarding Yom Kippur, it's coming to teach you that regarding the halacha of Tesefes, regarding Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's why he has to learn from Shabbos Bereishis. Now the Gemara asks, "V'tana de etzim etzim." So this was a discussion of the last two terutzim of the Gemara. But regarding the other source, as Ravina had said, regarding the Raisa, they learned out a comparison of Yom Kippurim regarding Malacha and of Inu, where it says etzim and etzim. Now according to that opinion, that is how we know the halacha of Hazara of Inu Yom Kippurim. Now, from the fact that we had to exclude, as we said, that it seemed like the Braisa was starting off with the assumption that there is a concept of Tesefes Yom Kippurim. Just to the contrary, actually, the Braisa had to then exclude and say, although there is this concept, but there's not going to be a punishment, neither from Malacha or Inui, and there's not even going to be even an Azhara of a violation of a prohibition of Malacha or Inui in this additional time of Tesefes. Now, that comes out that obviously we know that there's a halacha that is being assumed, and therefore we have to exclude punishment in Asara of Tesefes. And therefore, according to that Tana, Haibesish lachaydish mayavadli, what does he do with this terminology of the pasuk, betisra lachaydish, on the ninth of the month of Tishrei, one afflicts himself? We just explained in the previous Braisa that it's necessary to teach you this idea of Tesefes Yom Kippurim, which is, although it says Be'erev, which sounds like, you know, only when the 10th of Tishrei starts, yet it also says Betish on the 9th. How do we resolve that? We said that Tish is coming to teach you, and you start a little bit on the 9th, which is Tesefes. But according to the previous Braisa, that of what Ravina explained, the source of Azhara of Inui from Etzem Etzem, he doesn't need this Tisha to tell you the halacha of Tesefes, because he's assuming that already in the halachas of Yom Kippurim. So what does he need from this term of betisha? You don't actually afflict on the ninth. And if it's telling you the halacha of Tesefes, you don't need that because he knows it from somewhere else. So why does it say betish lachaydish? Now the Gemara says, the Tani Chiyah Barav Midifti says that, according to this pasuk, which is learned for a different idea, it says in the pasuk, v'nisim es nafshei seichem b'sisha, that one should afflict themselves on the ninth day of Tishrei. Now, do we afflict ourselves on the ninth? We only fast on the 10th of Tishrei, not on the ninth of Tishrei. And this is what he learns it for, that Tana, not like the way we said regarding Tesefes and Mikipurim, rather comes to teach you, whoever eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei, the Pasuk considers that person as if he afflicted himself on the 9th and the 10th of Tishrei. And that the Pasuk is understood as follows. It says, V'nisim batisha, that you should afflict yourself on the 9th. In other words, prepare yourself on the 9th so that you could be able to afflict yourself on the 10th. Now, from the fact that the Pasuk utilized the terminology of inui, it comes to teach you that it's as if you afflicted yourself even on the 9th, and as if you afflicted yourself the 9th and the 10th. That's why the Torah considers someone that properly prepares themselves for Yom Kippurim by eating and drinking on the 9th so that it could properly fast and afflict himself on the 10th. And that's why it says Besish LaChodesh. So there's two interpretations why it says the 9th. Although we don't fast on the 9th, it either teaches you regarding the halach of Tesefes Yom Kippurim, or it teaches you that if one eats and drinks on the 9th, it's as if he afflicted himself on the 9th and the 10th. Now the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah that said, Ochel Eichlin She'in Ruin L'Achila. However, if one eats regarding food items that are not fit to be eaten, then one is exempt for the violation of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara explains similarly that Amar Rava, Kas Pilpuli B'Yom Kippur, if one chews peppercorns on Yom Kippur, which that does not calm down a person because that's not the way people normally eat, so then Potter, then he's going to be exempt from the Isser of violating Inui of eating on Yom Kippur. Similarly, kasang vila b'yom tikipur, if someone chews ginger on Yom Kippur, pati is going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks on both of these halachas of Rava, beginning with the first one of the peppercorns. Meisve, the Gemara asks him a b'raisa. B'raisa says, Hayur meya emir, meya said, mimash meshenema, from the fact that the pasuk says in the Yikra, va'araltam arlasi is period, that there should be a halach of orla of the fruits of a tree for the first 3 years, that the fruits of the tree are forbidden. Now, any idea she'itz machlu, wouldn't I know that the tree that we're talking about is the tree that makes fruits? Because obviously we're talking about fruits being forbidden. So why does the Pasuk have to tell you that it's a tree of food? Obviously, forbidding the fruit must be it's a tree that makes fruit. So why does it say Eitz Meichel? So that Remeir says, we're telling you actually it's an Eitz that's a Meichel. How so? Eitz Shetam Eitzel Yupiriyah Shav. We're talking about a tree that its wood is the same as its fruit. So it's an Eitz that's Meichel. That's what the Pasuk is coming to teach you. That comes to tell you that we're talking about peppercorns in the Pasuk. Now, why did the Pasuk specifically take a case of peppercorns of Eitz Meichel? Lamedcha, that comes to teach you, Shapapolon Chayav Marla, it's coming to teach you that peppercorns are obligated in Halach of Arla because we're telling you that it's a type of a tree. Because Halachs of Arla only apply to fruits, not to things that grow from the ground. And we're teaching you that that is considered a tree and that it's obligated in Halachs of Arla. Another concept that we learn from the Pasuk is Ve'ein Eretz Yisrael Chaser Klum, that Eretz Yisrael, where the halachas of Arla apply, is not lacking anything, even things like peppercorns. Shneim, like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, Lo Yisechso Kolba, that there is nothing lacking in the land of Israel. Now, however, one thing that we do see is not like Rava, because we see obviously that pilpalin, peppercorns, are considered Meichel in the sense that it's a fruit that the halachas of Arla apply to. Obviously, it's a fruit, it's an edible item that we're saying Arla applies to it. And yet, why does Rava say that if one is going to chew it and eat on Yom Kippur, he's going to be exempt? I think my answer is loikash. It's not difficult because haber tifta. When the brises say remeir that it's going to be something that's mechuyev and orla that it's edible to be eaten, that's when it's moist. That's fit to be eaten. V'habiyabeshta. Rava was talking about when it's dried out peppercorns. That is something that's not normally chewed and eaten, and therefore that will not be miyash of the das. And therefore, if someone eats on Yom Kippur, he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara asks on the second halacha that Rava spoke about, that of chewing ginger in Yom Kippur. Omnei Ravina Rav Meimer. How could Rava have said that if someone eats ginger in Yom Kippur, he's going to be exempt? That's not considered eating. But Vo'am Rav Nachman, Hey Hamalta. Rav Nachman said regarding this Hamalta, which is that they would make a paste out of ginger that was ground down together with honey. So he said that regarding that paste, the Asimi Be Hinduyi that comes from the land of Kush, which is India, Sharia is permitted. Now, the reason why I would think that it would be forbidden is regarding two halachas of what's called bishul akum, the cooking, because the non-Jews would be cooking it. That is not prohibited regarding this paste, because since it's edible, even in its raw state, the halachas of bishul akum only apply to something that was not edible before it was cooked. Since here it's edible even in its raw state, so there's no problem of bishul akum. Another problem would be what's called gi'ule anachrim, which would mean to say that they have the treifa things in their pot, which then goes into this food that they're cooking. So I would think that that would make it treif. On that, we say that's also not prohibited because it's what's called, it gives tam livgam. It gives a bad taste into this paste, whatever was cooked inside their pot beforehand. And therefore, tam lefgam is also not prohibited. It's only when it gives what's called tam leshvach, it gives a good taste. Therefore, these blias that are coming out of their pots, since it gives a bad taste, it's not a problem with tarfus either. So therefore, it's permitted. And we also make a boi pri adama on this ginger paste that's made with honey. Now, so the question of the Gemara is, from the fact that we said that there's no problem of bishul akum regarding this paste, obviously it's telling us that this ginger with the honey are edible in its raw state. And that's why there's no problem of bishul akum, because if it wasn't fit edible, the cooking would make it edible. That would be the prohibition of bishul akum. Now, therefore, one should be liable for eating ginger in Yom Kippur, because you see, it's edible even in this raw state. Why does Rava say that one is exempt if one eats it on Yom Kippur? I think my answer is similarly, like it said, regarding the peppercorns, like Kasha Habritifta, when did we say that this paste made out of ginger, that ginger in its raw state, it's fit to be eaten, it's considered a meichel, you make a bracha, and it's therefore there's no problem bishul akim, that's only when it's moist. V'ha b'yavishta, regarding when did Rava say, if one eats raw ginger on Yom Kippur, it's going to be exempt, someone when it's dried out, people don't generally eat it like that, and therefore one is going to be exempt, it's not considered nachila, and it's not miyashiv the das of the person that's eating it. Related to these halachas, the Gemara brings Tarban, we learned in the Braisa. Ochel ole kanim patef. If one eats the leaves of reeds, he's exempt. On Yom Kippur, lulavi gafanim chayef. If he eats the shoots of a grapevine, he's going to be liable. Now, elohein lulavi gafanim. What are considered lulavi gafanim that are considered something edible that if one eats it on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayef? So this is machlikis. Amr Yitzchok Magdilo. He says, kol shalav levoim rishona vayim Yom Kippur. Whatever blossoms between Rosh Hashanah up until Yom Kippur. However, if it blossoms from before Rosh Hashanah, then by the time Yom Kippur rolls around, it's already hard and it's just like a piece of a tree. And therefore, one would be exempt. It wouldn't be like you're eating food. Rav Kahana Amar Kol Shleishim Yom, he says, the first 30 days, that would still be considered. So I guess from 10 days, from the 10th of Elul, if one goes ahead and eats it then, within 30 days on the 10th of Tishrei, then there would be a violation of the Isra of eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Tani Kafaseh, Rabbi Yitzchok Magdala. We learn a brisa, like Rabbi Yitzchok Magdala, which says, just like him, that says, Ochel Ole Konim Pot. If one eats the leaves of reeds, he's exempt. But Lulavi Gefanim Chayev, however, if you eat the shoots of the grapevines, then you're going to be Chayev. Now, Elu Hein, Lulavi Gefanim, the brisa says clearly, what are considered the Lulavi Gefanim, Kol Shalav Levoim Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim, whatever blossom between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. However, if it was before that, it's already going to be hard by the time Yom Kippur comes around, and therefore one will be exempt for eating that on Yom Kippur. Now the Mishnah told us regarding these halachas of eating things which are not edible, things that are not generally eaten, that one is going to be exempt for eating that on Yom Kippur. It said, Shasa tzir oimur yis poter. So the case conceptualizations that they chose were if one eats the fish brine or fish fats, then he's going to be exempt. Now the Gemara makes an inference. That's lower down on the totem pole of things that are inedible. But sounds like, hachay mitzchayv, if one were to consume vinegar, which is in a sense more edible than those, and it's more common for people to utilize the vinegar, then one wouldn't be liable. So the Gemara asks, Masnit Mani, who's our Mishnah like that considers chaymit something that would be chay for? The Gemara says, Rabbi, it's Rabbi, the town like Lunda Braisa. Rabbi Omer, chaymit's meshebes anefesh. He holds that vinegar restores a person's life, his mitzmiyash of his das, and therefore it nullifies the inoy, the affliction, and hence if one would consume vinegar on Yom Kippur, one would be chayv. However, Darsh Rav Gidl bar Menashe mi Beri Dineres, however, Rav Gidl bar Menashe got up and lectured, and he said, Ein halachic Rabbi, halacha does not fall like Rabbi, and therefore if one does consume even vinegar, one would be exempt. Now, Lashana, the following year, Nefki Kuliyami, so everyone went out, Mazgu, they went and they diluted the vinegar by putting water in it too, then weaker, because vinegar is a very harsh thing to consume. But they knew that if one consumes vinegar on Yom Kippur, they're exempt. So they dilute it with water. V'shasu chala, and they drank vinegar on Yom Kippur because they heard from Rav Gidl that one is not, the halach is not like Rebbe, and one is exempt from drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. V'sham Rav Gidl v'ikpa, Rav Gidl heard about this and he was very upset. Amar, he says as follows. Eima damriyano, when did I say this halacha diyavid? After the fact that one is not liable for a punishment for drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur. Like at Chilami Amri, did I ever say initially one could go ahead and just like the olim of the condom, did I say that people should go ahead and eat those things in Yom Kippur? If one does, it's exempt. So to over here, the vinegar, if one does, it is exempt, but not to go ahead and everyone should make a suda out of these things. And moreover, Ema damri anah porter. When did I say this is only a small amount of vinegar? Tuva miyamri, if you're drinking this whole beverage out of vinegar, did I say that then that wouldn't be restoring the person's nefesh and then removing the affliction? Then maybe a person would be chayiv. And finally, ema damri anah chay. When did I say this halacha of vinegar when it's totally in its raw state? That's not considered something that's meshavas and nefesh, and therefore one would be exempt. Mazik, when it's being diluted with water, mi amri, did I ever say that? That's a whole different type of a beverage, and in that case, it's very likely a person would be chayiv for drinking that beverage, and therefore he's very upset that people went and took it so far, when all he was saying was that in its pure, pristine state, the vinegar, in that small amount, that after the fact, if someone drinks it, then halacha is not like Rebbe, and one would be pater, because that would not be something that's ro'ul achila, and hence one would be pater if he drinks that on Yom Kippur.